Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 7:11 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is March 6th, and of course, today being Friday, it's the big picture long-term audio for the various different asset classes. But first, let's have a quick review of what's been happening this week. The currency markets have been all action because we saw that the dollar index broke upwards to new high ground this week, and it has sustained that move more or less through to the end of the week. We did see that the dollar was significantly weaker earlier on today, but has recouped much of that loss. The euro had rallied as high as 127.54, has given up some of that, but it's still up over a full point in here today. And when we look at that Swiss franc, we saw against the dollar, we saw there was a large downward dynamic about 2 weeks ago, and the dollar has been slowly edging back up towards the highs, but had another downward dynamic in here today, down over 160 ticks. So that's quite positive for those of us looking for the dollar to top out. We are looking at this market very closely because the dollar is the only one of the momentum trades that continues to move forward without having very much of a pullback. It's the one safe haven that people continue to put their money into. Gold had rallied up towards $1,000, found support around $900 this week, currently around 940, and that was a very good upper dynamic that we saw yesterday. Puts at least a short-term floor under this market. So gold, being another one of those safe havens, has had the pullback and now is a little bit firmer. We also see that treasuries had pulled back from their highs back in December, around the 140 area, 142, I think, on the 30-year, and have pulled back right to the upper side of that long range that extends from the latter half, well, the latter stages of 2002, right up to the middle of 2008. Natural area of support for the 30-year, and of course it's that rally we had yesterday with a little bit of follow through today is in conjunction with speculation that the Fed will start buying treasury bonds, or they will start the process of quantitative easing. And because we've had very much more distinct talk of that type of action coming from the Bank of England, gilts were significantly stronger in here today. They were up another almost 3 full points at 124.56 as I speak. So that's a breakout. It's the only one of the government bond markets to break to the upside and is being fueled by this speculation that the Bank of England will be buying not just treasuries, probably corporate bonds as well. As David wrote today, if we think logically about what the quantitative easing process would entail, certainly there would be jawboning in favor of government bond markets. But the Fed have been doing that since December, and the Treasury market has been falling. So there's not a lot of evidence there that they've been supporting the market in actual, real, physical terms by going out there and buying treasuries. But they've certainly been doing the jawboning. And if they are going to start buying anything, one would suspect that they would attempt to buy corporate bonds and to buy the stock market. These are the things that would really help to restore confidence in investors and could turn into a self-feeding trend that could help to reverse the incredible declines that we've had over the last 6 months. So that will be very much something to watch. And when we look at stock markets, we've seen that the Dow and the S&P continue to extend their breaks below those November lows, and we can say the same thing for a number of those European markets. We do not see that same action in Asia. Asia is performing, has been a relative performer throughout this last, well, throughout the period since we saw the acceleration downwards in October, and followed very closely by a lot of those Latin American markets. Brazil is the leading market there, but we also see that Mexico, sorry, that Argentina is well off its lows, and also we have Chile and Colombia there as well. So we're seeing relative performance outside of the US and Europe. The European markets are being weighed upon by continued talk that the exposure of the banking sector is a multiple of the exposure to DUF liabilities that the US banks have. And we continue to see that sovereign spreads are widening out and that country risk is being readjusted in the European area as speculation that we're going to have a default in one of those countries continues to rise. That is a possibility. That doesn't necessarily mean that the euro area is going to break up. And we are now starting to see that the German finance minister and the head of the Bundesbank are talking in more bold terms about supporting any market that is vitally in need of it in Europe. That's probably not going to come without some sort of cost. And we can probably expect a drive towards further European integration, or at least a commitment towards it, if countries are in need of further cooperation on the financial front. But that is something that that's probably a story that's going to play out over not just the next few months, but indeed the next few years. There are more pressing things to talk about. So we had this big move in the dollar, and we had a big move in treasuries yesterday, but that we've explained that that was really more on speculation that the Bank of England is going to start intervening and inferring that the US Fed is going to do the same thing. And stock markets continue to extend their lows. They're being led by the banking sector. And we continue to see that banking shares are deteriorating, not just in the US, but also in Europe. We also saw today that the Japanese banks broke to the downside. There's a subscriber of ours in Japan writes a daily newsletter, and I'll read you just the last few lines. It's only one paragraph in any case, but he says somehow the October 2008 closing low held by 10 yen on the Nikkei cash, but high beta financials made no pretense of outperformance, with Mizuho, ORIX, Mitsui, and OSK printing especially puketastic charts that should have the bears barking at the moon and catching wild salmon with their teeth. TARPs can only be used to cover the bodies of dead nations so as not to leave them exposed during the decomposition process. Well, he clearly has a bent to the poetic. But what we continue to see is that the banking shares are leading markets lower. And that was the case today in Japan, with the TOPIX making a marginal new low and the Nikkei hovering at its October lows. The TOPIX is very much in the same position. And in India, we also see that that while the market was a little bit steadier in here today, that the banks have had a very week in India. And of the Asian markets, it does look like India is the one that most at risk of breaking further to the downside, because the bank index has led from the outset and has deteriorated considerably this week. So India will certainly be a market to watch in terms of its relative performance. And of course, it doesn't have the budget surpluses that so many of the other Asian countries have been running over the last years. India has been a debtor over this period on a continuous basis. That doesn't mean, of course, that there aren't massively bullish things about India as well, but it is encountering problems in the current crisis that we have right now. Looking a little bit a longer term, the crisis that we have right now is where the concerns that are being most pressingly put forward are that earnings are going to continue to come down, that on a reported basis, PEs for the S&P are significantly above where they are on an operating basis, and that markets are expensive following the declines that we've had already. And we can look at these markets in a number of different ways, but what the technical pattern is telling us is that we've had breaks to the downside, they have been sustained so far, and that the decline to date has been relatively consistent. To offset potential for the market to continue to move lower, we need to see upward dynamics that are sustained beyond the very short term. And for markets like the Dow Jones, it needs to push above 8,000 or 800 for the S&P, 4,000 for the FTSE, or 4,000 for the DAX. Those big round numbers have offered support in the past, and we need to see markets rallying back above them. There remains a progression of lower highs. And those lower highs need to be taken out before we can have any real high degree of confidence that demand is regaining the upper hand. Investors are inert at the moment. The demand side is pulled back into its foxhole, and it's just not going to put its head out again until the shooting stops. And nothing has occurred to shake those short positions out of their complacency. We haven't had the kind of day where we see markets rallying 10%, which would be a clear indication that the shorts are being pressured and the shorts are being closed on a rather large basis. But nor is what we're seeing right now akin to the breakdown that we saw in September. For example, we see that the euro-yen position, that the yen is getting weaker from here. But back in September, that yen was pulling back sharp, was strengthening sharply. The euro was pulling back sharply. And what we see there is early stage base formation development for the euro against the yen. The euro-yen rate has been viewed as a carry trade proxy for a significant amount of time. And the fact that we're not seeing that yen strength coming through this time around would sort of suggest that the leverage situation that we have out there is considerably more unwound now than it was back in September. And if we don't have that overhang of excessive leverage in the market, then the potential for the kind of losses that we saw back in October to occur again is considerably less. On the other hand, we continue to see that cash reserves are hitting significant highs. We see that the three-month yield, it's rallied off of zero, but really only marginally, telling us that there is a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines, and that is the fuel for the recovery scenario when it occurs. But it's going to take time for investors to have any kind of confidence that a rally can be sustained. And we do have an overhang of supply above the market. There will be a demographic where they will be looking at opportunities to unload stale bull positions, which, beyond the potential for a short covering rally, which could help to put a medium to longer term floor under this market, and that is bound to occur at some point, but we do not need to see a move large enough to pressure the shorts before we can get the kind of rally that would indicate an important low, a low of beyond short to medium term, but medium to longer term significance had been hit by these markets. And it's only then that I think cautious investors will begin to start to put their money back into the market on a more sustained basis. I've seen articles over the last week trumpeting that buy and hold is dead. And one of the things we have to be very aware of is that we psychologically wish to do or seek to do in the present cycle what we wish we had done in the last cycle. And what people wish they had done in the last cycle is sold early. And everyone had been conditioned from the 2002-2003 lows up to the highs in 2008 to hold positions and to buy pullbacks. Buy and hold was the mantra by the time the market had pulled out. And we had moved to a faith-based investing scenario where people were buying when you had the pullback on the expectation that markets would continue to go upwards. They've been burned by that scenario. But we will return to an environment where that type of investing strategy will work again. And that will occur probably in conjunction with the moving average starting to turn upwards and markets sustaining a move above the moving average. Because it's in that type of environment where we see that prices are starting to turn upwards on a sustained basis, that is explained by the moving average turning upwards. And that will be our signal that buy and hold will start to come back into fashion. We're not seeing that right now. We're seeing markets moving further away from their moving averages, getting more overextended on the downside. And on a short-term basis, they are overextended. And there is potential for a rally, at least back up towards the lower side of the October to March ranges. Whether they can break back up into those ranges remains to be seen. But upward dynamics in the very short term are needed to check downward momentum beyond a very brief pause. And in the longer term, these markets will recover at some point. We've talked an awful lot about the leadership of the banking sector, and banks hit a peak back in 2007. In terms of their market capitalization relative to the total market cap of the wider market. And now they've given up that entire percentage and are representing a relatively insignificant part of wider indices. But the psychological impact of the banks being so very weak weighs on the entire market. There is no guarantee that banks will lead in any recovery type scenario, but they do need to turn upwards. They do need to stop going down and start to perform in line with the market at the very least. We need to be very aware of which sectors are performing and which sectors are outperforming in this environment, because when base formations become more evident and when we see moving averages starting to turn upwards, the sectors that are outperforming at that point will be significantly off their lows. And they will most likely be the sector that will lead us in any type of recovery scenario. This is probably not the time to go liquidating long positions because you're not going to get very good value for your money. And people, of course, getting back to that buy and hold scenario, there's a strong likelihood that there are lots of investors out there who were investing over the last 10 years and have absolutely nothing to show for it. And they're going to be looking around and saying, "Well, I'm not going to do that again. I've learned my lesson now. I'm not going to buy and hold. I'm going to be a trader." And they'll be inclined to sell rallies, or they'll be inclined to offload their positions. That can make the convalescence lengthy. The amount of liquidity that is being poured into the market at the moment has the potential to be inflationary in the medium to longer term if it is not retracted when the velocity of money starts to push back upwards. And you'll see that I posted a chart of M2 multiplied by the velocity of M2 in comment of the day today. If that trend starts to accelerate higher, then we would be looking at inflationary problems down the line. But at the moment, the amount of liquidity that's been pumped into the market is being aimed at negating the very worst effects or the very worst potential effects of this really rather deep recession. But the process of adding more debt on to cure a debt and leverage bubble is obviously not going to work. We need to reduce our indebtedness both on a corporate and an individual or household level. And I think that it really does appear to be only a matter of time before something is done to help fundamentally reduce the amount of indebtedness in the household sector. And if that means writing down the value of some mortgages, renegotiating mortgage contracts, or extending the lives of contracts to reduce repayments in an effort to reduce the number of foreclosures. That is really, I think, only a matter of time. It is a necessary step forward in the remedial process to help the over-indebted nature of the economy to get back onto a more sound footing. Yes, there is moral hazard in that, and yes, people will be bailed out who possibly shouldn't be, but it's not like we're going to immediately rush back into this type of environment again. What we also need to see is a complete change of culture at the corporate level, because there has been an attitude of something akin to robber barons or cowboy capitalism getting as or there is I've even heard the analogy to the fall of Rome, where people went in and got as much as they could before the whole thing fell down. And we've seen a lot of nefarious activity occurring in the corporate sector, and that is going to have to be cut out. And the top levels of management, where we have innate dishonesty, will have to be also be just cut out of the corporate sector and the banking sector. The whole process of pumping share prices to bring massive rewards in terms of stock options, it is a bad thing and will also have to be rethought. So we're looking at a complete change in the way that business is conducted and that companies are managed. That is something that's going to happen, and it's going to be a long-term process. And it needs to happen if we're going to have confidence being restored for investors, because now there is no confidence and people, the demand is inert. People, of course, are going to be in a position whereby they have taken a loss. They will have some cash from positions they've sold, but they're probably in a position where they can't afford to lose the cash that they have. In other words, there has to be the risk reward balance has to be very much in their favor before they're willing to put their money back into the markets, because if they were to take another hit, then they could be wiped out. And I'm sure there are going to be a lot of people in that same boat. So we remain in a very nervous, very difficult environment. But all of this will pass eventually, and the necessary instruments are there at the moment for this to occur. The one that we're lacking is confidence, and confidence will take time to be rebuilt. So the convalescence period will remain lengthy. Now, we look at the things that are performing, and gold and precious metals are performing in this environment. We saw gold pushing up to $1,000, pulling back to $900. The progression of higher lows from $700 remains in place. So that major consistency factor of gold is still there. We saw that the trend became more consistent as it pushed up towards $1,000 as participation in the move grew. Now it's pulled back into the previous range, which would suggest that more people have closed their positions. It's become less consistent than it was. It's probably back into that same sort of consistency pattern that we had when it moved from 700 up towards 850. We're probably back to that type of participation in the market. But gold still has potential to move on the upside as long as stock markets are weak, because it has that safe haven status. We saw silver pushing up towards $14, pulled back to $12, found support above that level, and is back up towards $13.31 in here today. And platinum has been remarkably consistent in here. It's currently at $1,076, pulled back towards $1,000, and while it hasn't moved as much, it hasn't been nearly as volatile as gold or silver, it is pushing upwards in a very steady pace. So we continue to see that there is interest in the precious metal markets because people just don't trust fiat currencies. There's a competitive race to the bottom in terms of the currency markets. We have a strong dollar at the moment, and that is probably the only momentum trade still going. But it's very hard to make a strong fundamental case in favor of the dollar other than the fact that everything else is bad as well. And we have every country in the world dumping liquidity into the system to avert this global recession that is currently in play. And the potential for an inflationary problem is still out there, because while we may trust one central bank to pull its liquidity out of the system, can we trust them all? Because there will be massive political pressure when a recovery does start to take hold, whether that is going to be later this year or sometime next year. There will be massive political pressure to leave that liquidity in the market to help reflate the balance sheets of companies, to help get supercharge any recovery that takes place. But if they leave this massive amount of liquidity in there longer than it's absolutely needed for, that is going to cause inflationary problems down the line and should help to support those who are looking at further increases for precious metals. Now, of course, precious metals have already had a very big move in the last 7 or 8 years. We see that Dow gold ratio has pulled back from something like 40, and it's below 10 now. I think it's somewhere around 7. We've seen lows in that ratio in the 3 and 4 level, but gold has already had a very large move relative to stock markets. We have seen a good part of this bull market already. I do not believe it's over, but we need to be aware that when people start to project that gold could continue to go upwards for another 20, 30 years, that they're probably overstating the case. We are approaching the, well, when we go through three psychological perception stages of a bull market. The first one is disbelief, and we've left that behind. We're somewhere between acceptance and euphoria. We're not in euphoria yet because not everyone I know is buying gold. Certainly, the retail participation in the gold markets has increased, but not nearly to the levels we saw with technology shares back in 1999, 2000. We're not in the euphoria stage of gold yet. There are still lots of investors who wouldn't consider owning gold. They prefer to have treasuries, and those people have been buying treasuries without the shadow of a doubt. So we're somewhere between acceptance and this euphoric stage. We're certainly not at the beginning of this bull market, and gold has gone up an awful lot. So the euphoria stage is generally the stage where you get the best part of the move, and it will generally end in acceleration. Gold has had accelerations in the past. We have commented on them and monitored them, and we will continue to do so. And we also know that when acceleration occurs, it is an ending of unspecified duration. We saw that back in March, we saw it in 2007, and we are likely to see it again. But gold for the moment is moving contrary to stock markets. Stock markets go down, gold goes up. The contrary is also true. If stock markets start to rally, that is going to put precious metals under pressure because that safe haven status will not be needed as much. We look at the energy complex because as well as those industrial metals which have broadly been going sideways, and we have copper breaking to the upside and aluminium still quite weak, we could also see that oil is currently at 45.60 on the front month contract. It's up around $50 on the second month and looks like base formation development. That would suggest we don't know how long that's going to go on for, and there will be an overhang of supply in the market. But as long as we don't see it breaking down from this level, that looks like base formation development. Lower oil prices should be a boon for the global economy, which is not something that people are looking at a lot now. But there is room for oil to recover over the medium to longer term. And when we look at what oil has done following other big moves on the upside or other energy crises, it has taken time for it to gather once more, gather the support necessary to fuel a big move on the upside. So oil has bottomed and lower prices will help the economy, but there is still room for this to push upwards. And of course, because the oil price has fallen back so much, energy companies and resources countries don't have the cash readily available to fund big new infrastructure projects that could help to expand the energy network. So when we do have the next synchronized global economic expansion, and that's not beyond the bounds of possibility despite what we see in stock markets, then there is still the likelihood that we're going to have a shortage of oil in, well, let's not define peak oil beyond the potential for the cost of production to continue to rise as older fields give way to newer fields that are more expensive to produce. So there is a fundamental support for the oil price at some level, and currently that is in the region of the $35 to $50 range. Over the longer term, there is room for oil to push on the upside, and industrial metals and oil could easily begin to move together in a recovery type scenario. The Chinese stimulus package is adding or is lending some support to these markets because of the massive infrastructure projects that continue to be put online in China, and they will need resources. So there is a lot to watch out there. China remains our number one candidate to lead in terms of stock market performance, and it continues to do so. Had a very good performance in the latter half of 2007, found support this week, and would really need to push below this week's lows to offset scope for it to continue to range higher, move upwards in a lateral or a higher ranging fashion. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time.